And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
Let's go.
We're here, baby.
Yes, we are.
We're here. We're loving this off season. I think Olympics is getting me.
Oh, man.
I don't know how you feel, but I feel like it's like we're in the NBA season yeah. with that Olympic basketball. Man,
it's sad that it's almost over. What, it ends tomorrow, right? It's closing ceremonies.
Yeah, well, I mean, the gold medal match for basketball is today yeah. too, so it'll be the last yeah. game we get.
Oh, it's so sad. Oh, Four more years.
We'll get into that in depth, but that game versus Serbia was electric.
Absolutely.
One of the best games I've ever seen.
Absolutely. We're ready to run through a brick wall for our country with the way things are going. So super exciting. Lots of exciting things happened with the Jazz too. So
yeah, we love it. We have a couple new signings, of course, Markkanen and another new Jazz player we'll talk about. And we're going to guess the 2K ratings that will come out in what, like a week or two?
Yep.
So we're going to give our predictions for what we think the 2K ratings should be for some of our Jazz guys. And then we're going to dive into the Olympics. Not as much basketball related. We will talk in depth about that Serbia game and how exciting it was. And then some of our other favorite things from the past week. And talking about some local sports with one Olympic medaler from BYU.
Yeah, don't forget to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, the whole list, wherever you get your podcasts, follow us on there. We're also on Instagram at Tuned In Jazz. That's where you can find us. And this is episode 41 of Tuned In Jazz.
Well, it finally happened. We've yes. been waiting for this. Markkanen gets extended. He gets his money.
Yes, sir.
How long ago did you know this Ooh. Was going to happen before it actually did happen?
I mean, I think it was like probably the fifth or the sixth I found out. I feel like I heard rumors that they had already agreed at least. So probably a couple of days before.
Yeah, whenever I heard like the Warriors' best offer was Moses Moody and like a yeah. couple of picks, I was like, yeah, we're probably just going to extend him.
Yeah. At least for a month or so, we've kind of been talking about how it's like, yeah, we don't have any better options. We're just going to stick with what we got. Kind of an interesting contract, though. I think the biggest in Jazz history is what I'm hearing.
Yep.
Might be a hot take. You think he was overpaid a little, or you think it was right?
No, I don't think he's overpaid.
Ooh.
I think the salary cap keeps going up every single year. So
yeah.
you're seeing these $200 million deals, but it's just percentage of cap room. It's not like as big as some other deals have been in the past, right? So just because the cap is bigger, I think it's still adequate, right? I think he'll get like 30% of the cap in a lot of those years, which is fair to me.
Yeah. I am not sure that I agree. I mean, I do see cap goes up, so maybe it's not. $49 million is a little alarming if you didn't know the cap went up, because that's what he'll make in his fourth year of his contract. I'm not sure, though. I'm on the boat of keeping Markkanen, obviously, but I still don't know if I believe that he's a number one or even a number two option on a championship team. So it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
Well, I would say I'm probably more on the Markkanen train. I'm a little biased just because I love the guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's such a good man.
He is.
And hey, I've seen how hard he's been working, and I think that he still has like another level that he can reach.
I hope so.
Where like he became most improved player 2 years ago. Yeah. We had no idea we were getting that. And so who knows? Like he's only what, like 27 or 28? Like I think he's got like another level that he can get to in this during this contract. And addition to that, the fourth year or third year on this contract, it actually goes next year 42 million, then to 46, stays at 46 and actually goes down a little bit in the third year. So that third year, I feel like the Jazz want a little bit more cap flexibility. So yeah. it didn't go up quite as much. And then the last 2 years, $49 million and $53 million. Yeah. And that all, of course, that all kind of depends on what the cap space in total would be in those years. And he'll get about like 30%, I think. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of interesting. I'm really happy for him. It's good to have a star that wants to be in Utah. I will
say
that.
So rare.
Yeah. Like, I don't think we've had one. Like, even with like Donovan Mitchell and Gordon Hayward, we never really felt comfortable. Like, we're like, these guys say they want to be here, but it doesn't seem like they do. But Lowry, like, seems like he wants to be here, you know, like, even when we're bad. So it's kind of, it's exciting to have him back. Lock him in for that many years is pretty good.
Yeah, Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck both issued statements on this contract. So I could read just briefly what they said. Danny Ainge said, "Lowry's ability to score in multiple ways and his versatility as a player makes our team better. He embodies our team's core values on and off the court, and we're glad that he wants to be part of our future and what we're building here in Utah."
Dang, okay.
And then Justin Zanuck's quote is, "Lowry's combination of size, skill, and shooting are really unique, and he's proved he's an all-star level player with his improvement over the past two seasons. We're excited that he shares the same vision of what our team can be long term, and to have him not only as a building block for the Jazz, but also as a member of the Utah community for years to come is huge." So I love how like they shared, like, Lowry's been open, like, he loves Utah and he likes the organization. The people have been so kind to him. They've given him the keys, which he has never had before in other places. And I think just based on him being in Cleveland, him being in Chicago, like, he's never experienced a front office that's like this awesome.
Yeah.
And like chill. Like, Ryan Smith is like hanging out with the players and building relationships with them, whereas maybe his other spots, it's been a little bit more cold.
Yeah.
So he enjoys it.
Absolutely. I think it'll be interesting to see this. I think the first year in Utah, he was given the keys. Nobody was expecting him to do anything with them. Even the Jazz, I feel like.
Yeah, we were just, let's tank. Yeah. Let's see what he can do. But
and then last
year,
everybody knew that he was a dog. And so he kind of got doubled a lot. He was definitely put the pressure on him. And I will say, like, it almost feels like he took just like a quarter of a step back last year. Not a ton, but just. So I'm hoping this year he can get back to like contending for that all-star, you know.
Yeah, and I think I'm impressed that he's able to do what he has done with not a ton of talent around him. He's by far and away our best player.
Absolutely.
Where maybe even that first breakout season, he didn't have a whole lot of talent around him.
Yeah.
He's kind of maybe like teams realize, man, we can just double Lowry and maybe get away with it a little bit more. Especially after we traded Fontecchio and some of that spacing we had. So
I do feel like I'm glad we locked him up too. I think it gives us a little bit of direction because he is kind of an interesting piece to build around. Like, we're still not really sure if he's like just a really big wing or kind of a power forward. Like, and it's hard to build around him if you don't know if he's going to be around, you know, like.
But I think he can fit with anybody.
Yeah.
So, like, if we bring in a power forward, he could slide over to the three.
Yeah.
If we bring in, like, a small forward, he'll just hang out at power forward, I guess.
Yeah. I still just don't feel like we found the right team around him. Obviously, we're tanking, kind of. So, it'll be interesting to see what we can get, yeah.
Yeah, we've had kind of guys just in and out, in and out, in and out.
Yeah.
Haven't really found the core group other than maybe Keontae at this point. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, we did get one of our next core pieces, future Jazz legend, Svi Mykhailiuk.
You pronounced that right?
I think I did, yeah. Did sound
I think
right?
You did, yeah. Okay. Mykhailiuk.
Mykhailiuk. Yeah. Svi. Svi.
He's from Ukraine. Pretty sick.
Signed a 4-year contract with the Jazz. Only 1 year guaranteed the first year. Kind of interesting. I was telling you before we started, I watched some of his highlights. Kind of exciting. I mean, highlight films are kind of deceiving sometimes, but he was dunking on people. He was shooting threes pretty well. His stroke looks really nice. So
here's
knows?
A trivia for Svi Mykhailiuk. He's only 27 years old. How many teams do you think he's played on, counting the Jazz now?
NBA teams or just teams?
NBA teams.
Okay, I know he was on the Celtics. Ooh,
yeah, he won a ring with them last year.
Okay, I'm guessing there's got to be more than that then. I couldn't even guess what other teams, but I'm going to guess like two other teams maybe.
This is his eighth team.
Eighth team?
His
oh my
eighth
gosh.
Team. Okay. He's been traded a lot.
Okay.
So he's had some teams where he's like got two teams in one season multiple times, and he's just kept getting shipped around like everywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's like, let me just find one spot.
Stick around, yeah.
Because he's hasn't really found his footing anywhere really. Yeah. So.
Well, and he must have some kind of value too, because guys don't stick around the league that long when they're not good. I mean, teams don't keep trading for him. So hopefully he finds a role for the Jazz. I don't really know. Our roster rotation is going to be so weird this year. We're going to have to figure some things out, I think. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's only 27.
Yeah.
We're not really guaranteeing the whole contract, so we could always move on if we need to.
Absolutely.
And he is, last year, been a pretty good three-point shooter in the last couple seasons. And if anything, he's just going to be a spacer.
Yeah.
And he is 6'7", so that keeps our size, too.
The whole non-guaranteed contract thing, I feel like, must be pretty new to the NBA. I don't remember that being a thing before, but the Jazz are definitely taking advantage. Kenny Lofton is the biggest example. We signed him to kind of a big contract, pretty much all non-guaranteed, and now we didn't wash our hands of it. Yeah,
it's kind of, I guess it's what they agree to, right?
Yeah.
So it is kind of interesting.
Gives them a chance to build a resume a little while we take less risks. So it seems like a very Danny Ainge move to me.
Also, just some cap stuff. When they signed Lowry, the Jazz renounced the free agent bird rights to THT and Kira Lewis.
Oh, no, THT.
So we no longer have his bird rights. So.
No. Gosh dang it, dude.
And then they also surpassed the minimum salary floor and can create $11 million in cap space. They'll use some of that to sign Johnny Juzang officially Drew Eubanks officially.
Okay. So, you guys get our rookies. I still haven't seen any
announcements for our rookies. We use that money that we were talking about last time for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's exciting. Get some. Finally make it official and get our roster going.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. Hopefully Lowry is okay if we don't make playoffs this year. It's not really an expectation that we have. We'd love to see him break out himself. Because, I mean, he is going to be keyed in every single night. People are going to just try and guard him.
Absolutely.
And I think one thing, he was on Holly Rowe interview on the Jazz Podcast Network.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned wanting to try and become a better leader.
Mm.
And I love that. I know he seems like he leads a lot by example.
Yeah.
But he's put in the work. He's become a great player. I'd love to see like that be contagious to like our young guys. And I think if we can develop him as our leader and him developing some of those other guys, I think that could be really good for our future.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're Lowry, what do you think, like, how long do you think you can put up with the Jazz being bad? Like, obviously this year he's kind of probably expecting it. Next year, maybe. When would you expect, if you're Lowry, to be more competitive?
I'd say at least in the third year of the contract. Yeah. I want to make the playoffs.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
He also seems like a pretty easygoing guy, so maybe he'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
I think he values stability and friendships and other things more than winning.
Mm-hmm.
And so just him being in an organization that he loves and stability for his family, I think is honestly more important than winning in some ways for him.
Yeah. I think it's the best thing Utah has to offer. Like, just the culture here in Utah, just being a very family environment.
Right.
We've heard some things about how Utah, the climate's kind of similar to where he's from. Maybe not exactly.
Yeah,
but
at least in the winter it's a little cold, bit. Probably. I like it. Yeah. I don't know.
I would agree, though, third year. After this year's draft, like, this year's draft has some pieces that kind of excite me, like if the Jazz could be bad for long enough. even outside of Cooper Flagg, there's, like, Amari Bailey is really exciting. But after that, I don't know if I really want to keep chasing guys in the draft. So hopefully after this year, we kind of start taking things a little more serious.
Yeah, I mean, almost all the analysts I've seen have given us a great draft grade from this past draft. So even let's just get our past two draft rookies to elevate.
Play at the level we want. Yeah, absolutely. Noteworthy, we talked about last week, noteworthy documentary, Jazz 50-year anniversary. Documentary is coming out tonight officially. I'm gonna play at the Delta Center. I don't know what, I forget what time, but they're giving
probably seven. I don't know exactly.
Yeah. They're giving preseason tickets to first people. You probably are too late if you're listening to this and finding out right now. But and then it comes out to us tomorrow for Jazz Plus.
Or I think the 12th.
Yeah.
And then 13th on YouTube.
That's right. 12th and 13th. So you can watch it there if you don't have time to drive down to Salt Lake. Well, all right. So NBA 2K ratings come out. The top 100 comes out on the 19th, so about a week, a little more than a week. And I'm guessing the Jazz will have a couple guys on there possibly. Mm-hmm. But we're going to try to see if we can guess what the ratings will be based off of what it was last year. So I say we start at the top since we're already talking about him. Lauri Markkanen was an 86. He ended last year as an 86 on 2K. What do you think? Does he go up, down? Where's he at?
I always thought he should have been higher all along.
Yeah.
Like I was thinking more 88 or 89 last year.
Yeah.
So I think 2K is going to keep it doing him dirty and just keep him at an 86. But maybe throughout the season, he'll get like 87 or 88.
Yeah. I could agree. I'd say I was thinking 88. It makes me wonder if big contracts like that like affect
the
ratings.
You're saying 88 like at the start of the year?
I think
it'll
be a start in 88. Okay. I could see if he has a really good season, I could see him push in the early 90s. He's going to have to play pretty good, but with that contract, it makes me wonder if that will affect it, if 2K will be like, oh, dang, they mm-hmm. value him
he's
a lot.
He's been,
you know?
So easy to trade for in 2K yeah. with his short contract.
Yeah, so I say 88. That's pretty good. Go up okay. to maybe. What about Colin Sexton, who finished the year last year at an 80, I believe. What would you say?
Oof. I feel like he was higher than that. I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe it went to 80.
This maybe is, it went up towards the end of the year if that was the beginning.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know exactly what it would be at the end, but I think he's like an 84.
84?
Yeah, that's what I'd give him.
Yeah, I was thinking like 82, 83. I think he's probably... I think...
He was averaging 20 for the second half of the yeah. year, so that's why I give it to
him. I was
going to
say the momentum at the end of last season was pretty good. I think if he can like keep that momentum going into the season, I could see him ending the season 85, around that range, I guess.
Yeah.
What about our man, Walker Kessler? This is probably maybe a tougher one. He was an 83 last year to start the season.
Yeah, he definitely went down.
Yeah.
Honestly, like he's coming off the bench now in some games too. He's probably yeah. like a 78.
78?
That's what I'd give him. I'd love to see that go up, but just that's why I bet 2K would give him.
Yeah, I could still see him being at an 80 maybe. His defensive ratings are probably still pretty high.
Oh, yeah.
And that would probably drag him up a little. I'd say 80, yeah, maybe 79, 80. Hopefully he can get up a little this year. Back to 83, I think, would be ideal.
Yeah.
What about Keontae George? This is a tough one. He's going to be really different. Mm. He started last year at a 72.
That's wild.
I'm thinking these numbers are beginning of the year.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Are.
I can't remember what he was at the end of the year, but what do you think from 72?
I'd put him just like one or two below Colin Sexton. So if I had Sexton at 84, I'd probably put him at like 82.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. Yeah, solid point guard. I'd say at least 80 would be my... Yeah. I think him and Walker Kessler in my eyes are kind of on similar planes as of at the moment for me. So last two are kind of interesting. Jordan Clarkson, he was at 80 last year to start the season.
I think he's gone down a little bit.
Yeah,
I'll just do one though. I'll give him 79.
Yeah, I'd say
he was kind of disappointing the second half of the year.
That's a
he was
tough
also
one.
Hurt a little bit, so if he's healthy maybe it'd be higher.
Yeah, I think it's probably a little lower for me, maybe like 77. I don't know. He's 32. Ooh. It seems like 2K doesn't really treat like aging players very well. So I could see him dropping him a little
bit. He got a couple extra overalls for me just from that Pistons game where he hit the game-winning shot. So
that's fair.
I guess you could be a 77 and hit game winners.
Yeah, that's true. He's an interesting one because just the way he plays, eventually he's going to have to drop out. Like, he's not really a three-ball guy that is going to age nicely, you know? So he's very athletic and shifty, and old knees don't treat too well to that, I think. So And the last one, John Collins, was at an 80 last year as well. What are you thinking?
Put him around the same, like 78 or 79.
Yeah.
I think he's digressed just slightly.
It was a pretty bad season last year for most of the season. Man, that's tough because I put Jordan Clarkson at 77. I think Collins might be 77 as well. Maybe 76 would be mine. I think he dropped quite a bit in my eyes.
It's fair. Yeah, I mean, he's got the chance to move up a little, but he still has a decent three-point shot.
Yeah.
Athletic, jump high, dunk hard.
Yeah.
His defense isn't so hot, though.
No.
So, yeah, look, high 70s, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we also have some Olympic updates. First thing, we talked about at the beginning of the episode.
Oh, man.
USA versus Serbia, an absolute classic game. Dude. We are blessed to have this kind of basketball right now and be it's a front row seat to it. Let's see. I watched this whole game from start to finish on NBC or whatever it was on.
Yeah.
I don't know the guy's name. I'm going to look it up because he needs to shout out. But this dude on Serbia was like Serbia's Steph Curry as well.
Yeah, are you talking about Bogdan Bogdanovic?
Steph Curry, you know, he had 34 points in this game.
Yeah.
He was the reason we won.
Yeah.
And he hit a lot of three-point shots, kept us in the game on offense. His defense wasn't so hot.
No.
But his offense is what kept us in this game.
I think we because Drew Holiday didn't seem to be like thriving on defense either. I think they just played us really well offensively. That was a tough game to play defense in, I think. That clip at the end where Bron and Curry are face to face and KD comes and daps him up, I was like, dude, we're gonna tell our grandkids about that. Like, this is insane. Like, what a game, dude.
It's absolutely crazy. I am like really wanting to find this guy's name. He's number 30 on Serbia.
Yeah.
What was his name?
I know Bogdanovic was balling pretty good for them.
Yes, he was talking trash to Melo on the sideline and giving him the three to the head.
Yeah, I did see that.
His celebration. That was pretty crazy.
It was cool to see Melo on the sideline too.
Okay, it was, I'm going to pronounce it wrong probably, Alexa Avramovic.
Mm.
And he was nailing shots. He was hitting three after three. If he was open in the first half, it was going in. And then, I don't know if you noticed, but Serbia in the fourth quarter didn't make a single three-point shot.
Yeah.
They had some open ones. They just didn't make them. And thank goodness they missed because we would have lost if they made some. But we came back in that fourth quarter and got the win in like the most dramatic and exciting way possible.
Dude, they had some open looks for three in the fourth, too. They just weren't hitting them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that game was just insane. I kind of only caught the second half. It's really hard with these Olympic games to like the timing. It's just a little different.
It's definitely in the afternoon at like 1 o'clock.
And you're like, oh, crap, I forgot it was going on.
Yeah, I was eating lunch and I was like, oh, USA. Yeah.
Oh, dude. But like at the end of the game, I don't know if you remember, it was like the second to last play. We were only up by like two, I think. And KD just goes ISO. He just goes between and then just does what KD does. And
shoots
like,
over him.
Oh. KD, Bron, and Curry
iced the game right there.
We wouldn't have won this game without these guys.
Even Embiid had like a 9 or 10 point run.
He was nice.
That brought us back to tie the game too. And Embiid's been getting slander because he's not been playing well in the Olympics and he played so well. I think he had like 19 points at the end.
Yeah, he was putting some pressure on Jokic too. I think Jokic was at four fouls at the end of the game.
Yeah, there's like and this brutal offensive foul they called on Jokic where Embiid was guarding him and he just like moved Embiid out of the way with his elbow and it was so physical. I don't know if I love this kind of basketball physicality wise.
Yeah.
People are bumping each other every play and they're not calling it. So it has to be like a pretty big hit or a pretty big foul to get called.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's pretty to watch. Maybe I'm in the minority with that, but I didn't like watching like all the physicality. And Serbia was just punching us in the face every play.
I totally agree.
So a lot of times wasn't getting called. There's some moving screens that I definitely got animated about while watching too.
And then you see Bogdanovic like complaining to the refs every other play. And it's like, dude, that's the most
obvious foul ever. Like your arm is around his waist. Like, come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen a lot of people talk about the FIBA rules and having the NBA adopt some of them. That the physicality, I'm not a huge fan of that much, at least.
Yeah.
Also, the whole like you can hit it off the rim thing seems kind of stupid to me. Like it, I don't know. I know a lot of people love it. I'm not a fan of it though. The whole where you can hit it off the rim seems a little arcadey.
It seems pretty like, yeah, like. The height of the NBA, maybe in like 50 years ago, that could have been a cool rule because only some guys could do it.
Yeah.
But now, like, pretty much everybody's center could do that. So I don't know if it'd be a great thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. But great game. We're playing France in about an hour and a half from the time we're recording this.
Yeah. Do you remember Gershon Yabusele? Played for the Celtics like years ago. He's been balling for France. He had like 17 points against Germany.
Yeah.
He's going to get a contract. The Jazz should have signed him actually. So
yeah, dude, France is on their way. I mean, like with the, when we were watching the draft, so many French guys drafted last couple of years, obviously Wemby being the biggest. Rudy Gobert not playing very well right now though, unfortunately.
I mean, if you're Wemby's surpassed Gobert at this point, so it's okay.
It's tough, yeah.
He's going to get a silver medal, so.
Yeah, yeah, he will.
He participated.
Yeah, I think the key to this game, we need to win without needing to have a 17-point advantage in the fourth quarter. Like, we have to start hot this game, I think.
And we need to play defense.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't, like, get around those screens.
Absolutely.
And don't be the team to get punched in the mouth. Let's be the aggressor this time.
Absolutely.
Let's like maybe let's start LeBron with LeBron and Embiid and just like hit the rim as much as possible in space. Yeah. So like LeBron's going to take it to him and he's so physical that it doesn't even matter if they foul. Yeah. So.
I saw they announced that they're moving KD to the starting lineup for this game.
Nice.
In place of Drew Holiday, which might be
Drew Holiday kind of didn't really play a whole lot in the second half, and it was okay because we won.
Yeah, matchup wise, I think it was kind of tough. Yeah,
we needed some other guys out there. Devin Booker also had a couple clutch shots, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays a lot in the gold medal match too.
Yeah, the crazy thing is that lineup of Curry, Booker, Braun, KD, and Embiid. That's like four of the best scorers in the world, and LeBron James. Like, oh my gosh, dude. Embiid's probably the most best big man scorer in the world right now.
Yeah.
KD and Curry are world class at what they do, and Booker is just an insane shooter.
Yeah,
his shot
top
is
five
so
shooting
nice.
Guard.
Yeah.
I mean, you could throw him, and even if you threw Edwards in there too, that's still it's insane that he's coming off the bench.
It's so wild, and we can't even find minutes for some of these guys. It's just wild, dude. This team is so good.
Yeah, well, that's a game I'm going to remember for a long time.
Absolutely.
Just in how exciting it was. I was on my feet for like most of it.
Oh, and, dude. So exciting.
Definitely yelling at the refs at times and being excited for the comeback.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
So
I'll be honest. When Serbia was up by 13 in the third quarter, I didn't think we were going to come back.
Oh, yeah. It was a little rough.
It didn't feel like it was a win just based on the vibe of the game and the referees.
Yeah.
But just absolute classic.
Yeah.
Vintage.
And like you said, we needed, every time Curry came off the floor, we'd go down further and further. And I'm like, oh, dude, Curry's going to have to play 40 minutes against France.
Once they started missing their shots, it's like, okay, we can be okay with Curry not playing the best defense because they're missing. So
absolutely.
Yep. And then there's some other pretty exciting Olympic events. I was, before we recorded, I was showing you the 1500 meter gold from Cole Hawker.
Yeah.
And the 400 meter gold from Quincy Hall.
Dude.
How did you just watch those? How did you feel watching those?
Oh, man, dude. Those guys, I love seeing when they're like behind and then they just push at the end. Like, that's so exciting. Oh, man.
It's like, how did they have that left in the tank at the end? Like, were they holding back when they started or were they just like becoming another beast at the end?
Yeah, right.
Because they made it seem like everybody else was jogging with how fast they were at the end, especially Quincy Hall in that 400 meters, man.
Oh, man.
He's grimacing like,
absolutely.
Like, I wouldn't want to be the guy in front of him. He'd run me over easily.
I think that might be the biggest difference between like normal athletes and like world class is like these guys mentally are strong. Like, they're not just...
They set personal bests at the event.
Right? Yeah, they're like they're like locked in, but also they don't let things bother them. Like, they can just stay to the course when even when things aren't going well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between them and your average Joe, who might just be just as strong.
But yeah, isn't and even there. With the 1500 meter for Cole Hawker, the two guys that were the favorites, there's a guy from Norway who seems like a jerk. They showed some of him talking trash before they did the race. And then this guy from Great Britain, I'm pretty sure. And they've just been like throwing jabs at each other for the past couple months.
Yeah.
And then Cole Hawker just comes in and silences all the jabs. The Norway guy that led the whole race and was supposed to win got fourth. So it's crazy. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's so sweet. One kind of sad, no Lyles. I don't know if you saw, had COVID. Apparently had COVID during the race he got bronze in. I can't remember what race that was.
200 meters.
200 meters, that's right. Had to get taken off in a wheelchair. I'm surprised he even ran it. That's pretty impressive.
It's so hard.
That he could still get bronze, too, with COVID. Like, 102 fever, they said.
Yeah, and he wasn't able to do the 4x100 relay for men, and they got disqualified because they couldn't pass the baton.
And Canada won. Oh, my gosh, dude.
Like, come on. Like, you've been waiting 3 years for this and you don't know how to pass the baton. Like, what's going on with our coaches?
I'm honestly, I said it last week, I'm not a big Noah Lawson, but I was rooting for him. It's pretty cool to see how he won that 100 meter just shoulder over the line. That was a pretty crazy finish. I was kind of hoping we'd see more of the more decisive wins though.
Yeah. Another maybe less well-known race that I think was really exciting is the women's road race cycling. It's like longer distance cycling.
Yeah.
And Kristen Faulkner from USA, she's from Alaska, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
She won the gold when she wasn't planning on competing in this until recently, like
that's
within
so
the
wild.
Last month or two.
Wow.
Because the other woman who was going to do the road race decided to switch to triathlon to focus on that.
Yeah.
And so she did cycling. She's been cycling her whole life. She's ready, but she didn't know she was competing until recently, and she won the gold.
That's insane.
Let's go.
That is so wild.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. She was in like third or fourth place with this other cyclist for a while. They both catch up to the leaders.
Yeah.
And she just like takes the inside lane and passes everyone with like barely any lap to go, and then didn't look back. She was just exciting because a lot of those bike races, they love to like group together to rest,
pace themselves,
Yeah. And that way they don't have to put more energy than they can. They just want to be in that group. But she just said, you know what, it's almost over. I'm just going to say adios to this, to this group. When she saw the opening, she took it, and then she won that race and the gold medal. I don't think the U.S. has won that for a very long time.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going down to the wire in the Olympics. U.S. women's soccer just won.
Let's go.
20 minutes ago. Won gold.
We're breaking
against
news
Brazil.
Out here.
Yes, we are. And actually, the medal count currently, it just went up from when we just checked it, but U.S. is at 35 in second place. To China, who's in 30, who has 37, just talking gold medals, of course. In total medals, we're killing. We're at 116 to 88 with China.
That's such a big margin.
But yeah, golds were two behind. Quite a few events to be finished up today, though. So
yeah, I mean, we were talking about what golds could we possibly get.
Yeah, men's and women's basketball, hopefully, we'll finish off today.
Hopefully, two more.
Yeah, that's two.
And we're also in the women's volleyball gold medal match tomorrow.
Yeah. I think there's still some track ones like javelin and high jump or something. I don't really know where we're at with those, but
there's usually somebody in there that can give us a shot.
Hopefully China's
we're so spoiled with US.
Dude, we
so
really
many
are.
Great athletes.
We really are. It helps that we have 500 of them, but
it's true.
But we do have a lot of team sports. I mean, men's and women's basketball, that's like 30, 40 players. And
yeah,
you add in the volleyball teams, and I guess it adds up pretty quickly. So,
yeah. So I don't know. We could catch up to China, but there's only a couple days left.
Yeah,
it's gonna come down to the wire.
Yeah,
I think so.
Absolutely.
And shout out to China. They have so many great athletes too. I know. We love rooting for USA, but China's got so amazing athletes over there, and it's cool to watch them too and see just like what the limits of the human body can do.
Right.
I mean, we were watching the, what is it called? Like the rock climbing wall.
Yeah,
the
speed guys. Climbing.
The USA guy like could climb, I don't know how high it was, in like 4 seconds.
Yeah.
He's like Spider-Man out there. They were calling nuts. Him that.
It is
just
so
amazing
nuts.
What like we're able to do, like people in the Olympics. It's crazy.
Dude, it is. I think it's cool. Like, obviously we talk a lot about China here in the United States and some maybe political differences between the countries, but like that we can come together in the Olympics and just be I don't know if you saw the clip. There was a clip of, I didn't see what the event was, but there was a girl from North Korea who got a medal. I think it was a silver medal. And obviously North Korea is kind of locked down when it comes to the rest of the world media wise. And she was like looking around and she saw all the other athletes like biting their medal, the classic. And she like didn't know about it because she didn't, you know, she lives in North Korea. And so all of a sudden you see her like bite it too because she was like trying to fit in. I was like, I got chills because I'm like, this is so cool. Like,
that's pretty sick.
She gets to experience the world. I wish she could experience it other places, but at the Olympics, she gets to have unique experiences. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're going to miss it. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life after the Olympics.
Right,
are done.
Yeah, honestly.
It's a lot of time I've been given to that.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to focus back on the Jazz, unfortunately. I'm just kidding.
You didn't want to pivot over to an Olympic podcast and get ready for, what is it, 2028? And
yeah, I guess not.
In LA.
Yeah.
But I guess a local sports note as well, Kenneth Rooks. He won the silver medal in the steeplechase.
Mm-hmm.
And similar to those other men's races we were talking about, he came from behind.
Yeah.
Got ahead. There was a guy behind him from, I think it was either Kenya or Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Ethiopia, that fell at the last hurdle or two. But he had to get taken to the hospital. He's okay.
Hopefully he's all right, yeah.
He was going to pass.
Yeah.
And I think he was going to pass Kenneth Rooks. But Kenneth Rooks, like, held on to that silver and really surprised everyone. Nobody thought that he would even get a medal, and he got silver. So
honestly, this is first Olympics too. I'm sure he'll be back.
Yeah, in LA,
I'm sure he will. So,
shout out to him for representing BYU and representing Utah.
Yeah,
and getting a silver medal when nobody thought he would.
Absolutely, I think he's probably one of the only BYU. We had eight there, I believe. I know one of the girls made the final for the women's steeplechase, but I think she finished like 10th or something. But in the finals, pretty impressive.
I think we've got
still.
Some marathon runners too.
Yeah.
But I don't know when that's happening.
Jimmer, obviously.
Yep.
Didn't do what we talked about last week. But thank you so much for tuning into our episode. We know that it's kind of a slow time of year for Jazz, but we appreciate all your support, you tuning in. Don't forget to check out our previous episodes. We talked a little bit more about Olympic events and also about some other Jazz news. Remember, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and give us a subscribe, a like, a share, whatever you can do helps. We appreciate you. Yep. And take care.